This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. God rules, and His kingdom matters more. So how do so many things happen in the kingdoms of the world that seem to go against His desires and decrees? Daniel likely had to wrestle over this same question as he lived in Babylon. We can learn from him how to keep living for God in an increasingly godless society. Today, Pastor Sam will begin a sermon titled, Dare to Be Like Daniel. It's from Daniel chapter 1. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
As I've been reading and studying, preparing these messages or this series that our elders felt would be wise for us as a church to listen to and to go through together, I have consistently been alerted by the commentators that the book of Daniel is one of the most comprehensive and stunning books in the Old Testament. If you were to ask me which is the book of the Old Testament that would probably give more content and have more comprehensive scope about the plan of God and more practical application to our lives and give us most hope for navigating life now as we look for the life to come, I'm not sure I would have picked Daniel. I probably would have scanned through the 39 books, and I might have looked at the section in Genesis that talks about Joseph down in Egypt. I might have looked at the book of Proverbs and said, there is daily wisdom for life. I might have found myself in certain portions of Psalms, like Psalm 19, that sort of journeys out or chronicles out the journey of a faithful servant of God. I might have eventually found my way to the book of Joshua or to the book of Judges and said, there are lessons I could learn, both positive and negative. And all of that is true. I don't think I would have picked Daniel as the book that is the most comprehensive and the most instructive and the most hope-filled and the most practical book in the Old Testament. But the longer I have spent in this book, the more convinced I am that that is exactly right. Now, when you get to the book of Daniel, we talked earlier on in our series that the theme of this book is very simple. God rules, and His kingdom matters more. Everything in the book comes around those ideas. God rules, and His kingdom matters more. We noted that in the theology we sang together this morning as we worship, High King of Heaven. That's another way of saying God rules. And that's certainly going to be evident throughout the book. But it's not just that God rules. It is this, that in all the kingdoms of men that matter so much to the people in those kingdoms, there is a kingdom that matters more. And we're going to see that again in Daniel chapter 1. Now, with a book that is so filled with hope, and so intriguing in its content, and so comprehensive in its scope, it actually opens in a surprising way. It opens with an unmitigated disaster. King Nebuchadnezzar bursts in on the scene, and by the time he is done, by the time you get halfway through the book, everything that Daniel held dear, everything that he knew had been destroyed, it had been captured, it had been taken out of its location, including Daniel himself. You could say it this way, the book of Daniel opens with an unmitigated disaster of unthinkable proportions. And Daniel immediately wants you to sense the tension that you find in the book, that there is this crisis that you didn't anticipate, and instead of leading with hope, and instead of leading with confidence, and instead of leading with God rules and His kingdom matters more, the kingdom that you assumed was God's, Israel, has been destroyed. If God rules, why are his temple vessels carried off by a pagan king and put into the treasury of his own pagan god, Marduk? How in the world, Daniel, can you tell me as I open up Daniel and read about this unmitigated disaster, how can you begin to tell me that God rules and that his kingdom matters more? I mean, Daniel, if God ruled, you wouldn't be on your way to Babylon. If God ruled, your family would not have been decimated. Your home would not have been destroyed. The city you grew up in would not have been burned. If God ruled, none of this would have happened. Daniel, if God's kingdom mattered more, I don't understand why one of David's descendants, Jehoiakim, is being bound and carried off into captivity. I don't get it. If God's kingdom matters more, I don't understand why his chosen nation is being carted off into captivity, bound in chains. I don't understand why the city that God put his name on, Jerusalem, is being burned. I don't get it. By the way, you may be wondering that today as you listen to the news. I don't get it. God, I just don't get this. I'm having trouble connecting how you rule and your kingdom matters more with what's going on in my life, with what's going on around me, what's going on in my country, and what's going on in your country. I don't understand how you can say that God rules and his kingdom matters more. Now, have you been there? You ever sat in that tension where it's everything you can do to hold on to your belief? I mean, you believe because you know it's the right thing to do. But you're wondering as you go through these crises that come up and this unmitigated disaster that you never intended or expected to be in, it's everything you can do just to keep your faith alive. And the longer this goes and the deeper it gets, the harder it is to believe. And even if you manage to keep your faith alive by some miraculous means, how can you serve a God who doesn't intervene? Who lets his vessels be taken off into captivity and put in the house of a pagan god? I mean, after all, he's the God who said, there are no idols, they're just stones, why bow down to them? They can't do anything. Well, obviously, somebody was able to take your temple vessels and carry them off to the house of Marduk and Shinar. So how in the world, Daniel, did you navigate this? And more importantly, how can I navigate this? How did you learn to thrive in the middle of these kinds of crises, the historical crisis that you were in, the theological crisis, the moral crisis, the personal crisis that came? Here you are in Babylon, and you got to ask yourself, who rules? Who rules over us, and what will become of us, and what will we become? Not just what will happen to us, but what will we become here in Babylon? And so Daniel chapter 1 is the answer to that question. It is telling us the story of how God's servants thrived in a silent sovereignty because God appears to be absolutely invisible in all of this. So let me show you, as we try to answer these questions, let me show you a text. I'm going to keep you in Daniel chapter 1, and then I want to show you five simple things that Daniel did and his three friends did that allowed them to thrive in Babylon. And then you and I can learn, and we can ask God, we can dare to be like Daniel. And so the text that I want to show you is in chapter 6, verse 28. And it takes place 70 years after the events in chapter 1. So in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. Two kings, two kingdoms clash. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his gods. And he placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. And along with them, in verses 3 all the way down to verse 7, are a group of people, God's people, who are carted off with those vessels to Babylon. And one of those people is Daniel. Now, 70 years later, Daniel is still there. Listen to how he describes his life in Babylon over 70 years. Verse 28. So this Daniel, which Daniel? The one we were reading about in chapter 1. The one we read about in 2, 3, 4, 5, and now we're reading about him in chapter 6. This Daniel prospered. You see that word? He prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So here we have a servant of God carted off in the midst of unmitigated disaster, and 70 years later, he writes a book, and he says to you, and I want to tell you that I prospered in Babylon, and I want to tell you how I did it. And the reason you and I need that is because we live in our own Babylon, don't we? We have our own unmitigated crises. We never thought we would end up where we are. When you started out your journey, you never thought it would take you here. You saw people here, but you never thought you would be here. You never thought you would experience this. You prayed for other people who were experiencing this, but you never thought for one moment that you would ever be here. Lord, I'm your servant. I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying every day. And you know what they always taught us in little kids' church? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll what? You'll grow. A verse a day keeps the devil away, and I've been doing two as extra good measure. You know, if one vitamin C is good, I'm doing two. So if one verse keeps the devil away, two is going to keep him far away. And the next thing I know, I'm in this moral crisis. How did I get here? Man, Lord, I memorized verses. I read Proverbs every day, and I still ended up in this moral crisis. How did that happen? I never, ever expected to be in this moral crisis. I never expected to be in this physical crisis. I never expected to be in this relational crisis. God, how do I thrive? How do I do what Daniel did? How do I prosper? And Daniel says, I'm so glad you asked. And his answer would be this. The first step to thriving in Babylon is enduring patiently while God works. Enduring patiently while God works, because history is always orchestrated by sovereignty. History is always orchestrated by sovereignty. And Daniel is going to make sure that you know this. He is going to make sure that you understand the crisis you read about in the opening seven verses of Daniel 1 is not outside of God's control. You may not hear God's voice, and you may not see God's hand, but God is very much active, and his sovereignty is orchestrating everything that happens. You know, if you lived in the ancient world and Nebuchadnezzar showed up at your doorstep with his army, and 6 months later, your city's, you know, pretty much devastated, everybody's going to say, well, we know how that happened. Nebuchadnezzar is legendary. He's a young general in his father's army. Everywhere he goes, his military prowess is stunning. He's responsible for tumbling down the world power of Assyria. Every battle he fights, he wins. Everywhere he goes, he comes in as the victor. Everything he touches turns to gold. Of course, that's how what happened to Jehoiakim happened. That's how what happened to those temple vessels happened. That's how what happened to Jerusalem happened. That's how what happened to those Hebrew young youths happened. It happened because of Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel says, no. I want you to know how it happened. Look at verse 2. The Lord gave. The Lord gave. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. The Lord gave some of the vessels of the house of his God, of the house of God. Everything that Nebuchadnezzar did here in Jerusalem was orchestrated by the hand of God. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, 100 years earlier, there was a king of Israel named Hezekiah. And he had a friend, a prophet named Isaiah. And one day Isaiah came to him. You can read about this in Isaiah 39. And he said to Hezekiah, Hezekiah, I want you to hear the word of the Lord. I want you to hear what God has to say. Well, thank you, Isaiah. I'm always ready to hear what the Lord might have to say. You know, you and I are good friends, and I know that you speak directly to God. I mean, you told me about that time you were in the temple and you saw the Lord high and lifted up, and wow. I mean, I'm so thankful for your ministry to me when Sennacherib's armies came and we prayed together, and then the Lord sent an angelic host and destroyed those armies. So yeah, I'm ready to hear whatever the Lord says. And Isaiah says, okay, well, here's what the Lord wants you to know. The days are coming, Hezekiah, when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day will be carried to Babylon. Nothing will be left. Some of your descendants who come from you, whom you will father, will be taken away, and they will be officials in the palace of the king of Babylon. That is 100 years before Nebuchadnezzar showed up. Now, let me ask you a question. Who is actually at work here? It's God. And so when Daniel found himself in Babylon and he remembered what Isaiah wrote, he knew that he was right in the middle of God's will. This is exactly what God said he was going to do. And by the way, can I just say this? When you're in a crisis, run to the very safest place you can be, and that is God's will. There is no safer place to be in a personal crisis, in a moral crisis, in a theological crisis. Name your crisis. There is no safer place to be than right in the center of God's will. I have said this, I don't know how many times over the last 2 weeks. I am absolutely convinced by the providential ways in which God has been at work, that this cancer is God's good and perfect and acceptable will of God for my life. And I would rather be in God's will with cancer than to be out of God's will without it. You say, wow, Pastor Sam, that's super great. I mean, that's, man, that's awesome. And no, that's not coming from me. You need to understand this. This is not coming from me. Because I'm made of the same stuff that you're made of. And I have the same fears and the same anxieties and the same doubts that you have. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit is no respecter of persons. The same Holy Spirit lives in me, lives in you. And no matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult the path, no matter how disappointing, I mean, think about Daniel on his way to Babylon. It couldn't get any worse. And Daniel says, let me tell you something. When I found out I was in the will of God, I prospered. I prospered. And not only did God tell Daniel that he was in the will of God 100 years earlier through the prophecy of Isaiah, he told Daniel exactly what he was supposed to do when he got there by a letter that he got from Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29. And Jeremiah says, all right, all of you people in Babylon, Daniel and the gang, I have a word from Yahweh for you. This is what the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says to all the exiles. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they may bear sons. multiply there. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Wait a second. The angel says, hang on, Lord. I got it. Now, Jeremiah, I know you're a prophet, and I know you guys talk, but I just want to check and make sure there isn't a typo here, because he just sent a letter, and he says, we are supposed to settle down in Babylon. Okay, I can buy that. We're supposed to have houses. Well, I don't have one yet, but I think by chapter 6, I'm going to have one that I'm going to pray in before I go into the lion's den. So I think I got that base potentially covered. But this big piece here that I don't get is like praying for the welfare of this city. I think you meant pray for the welfare of Jerusalem, not Babylon. I think Jeremiah is hungry. He's persecuted. He's been down in a well for a while. He probably got the names mixed up. Pray for Jerusalem. I think that's what you meant. And God says, no, no, no. I told you to pray for Babylon and its welfare. It's success. That's the word welfare. It's success. Pray for the success of this city. What? God, do you not know that your vessels are sitting over there in the temple of the god Marduk? God says, yeah, I put them there. Do you not know that your people are stuck here in Babylon? Yeah, I put them there. Do you not realize what Nebuchadnezzar and his boys are doing over in Jerusalem? In case you're wondering, they're not praying. They are praying, but it's not the kind of praying that you're thinking about. It's not P-R-A-Y-I-N-G. It's P-R-E-Y-N-G. They're taking prey, and your people are the prey. And God says, I know. I'm the one orchestrating all that. Oh. So you want me to pray for the welfare of this city? And God's answer is, are you willing to do that? Daniel says, listen, if you are going to thrive in a place like Babylon, you have to endure patiently by following what the Lord has given you to do. And then there's the second thing. You need to live faithfully, and you can see that in verses 3-7. And the reason you can live faithfully is because royal strategy is always trumped by divine sovereignty. Nebuchadnezzar had a brilliant strategy. He would go to a place like Jerusalem, and if they surrendered, he would show kindness and mercy, and he would be known as a great king who had great power but also great mercy. And he would take the choice of the young people, and he would bring them over to Babylon. He would take care of them. He would relocate them. He would re-educate them, he would rename them, and he would reposition them in his kingdom, and he would give them high positions in Babylon, and he would pay for all of it. That's exactly what you see here. He relocated these Hebrew boys to Babylon, and they were trained in the language and the culture and wisdom of Babylon. They were provided for. They would eat the king's food directly from the king's table. Food that was the finest in all of Babylon. It had been offered to Nebuchadnezzar's God, and the food was rich.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker is Dr. Sam Horn. He's the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. If you live locally, come join one of our morning worship services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. every Sunday. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about today's message or about Palmetto Baptist Church, reach out to radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at PBC and produced by CJ Billieu. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.